of our series, Now What? Reminds you that in the seat back in front of you is a communication card. And this is a really important piece. As we're going to talk about today, community is important and communication is important within community. And so for you to be able to fill this out and just let us know that you are here and let us know what God's doing in your life, the things that that you would want us to pray with you about, things that you would want us to celebrate with you about, those are all important. And so that is a piece of a paper that allows us to do some really important communication. And so I would just invite you every week that you're here to just go ahead and pull that out as soon as you get here, fill out the top part as much as you're comfortable with, and then begin to as we go through the message and as we get to the end, be ready to take a next step in your relationship with God, and then be able to just drop that in either the giving boxes or at the resource center to let us know how we can continue to just pray for you and help you in your walk. So that is important. So I want to just always make sure that you understand what that's for. It's not just there because we want to use up paper. We want to use it for something that God wants to do in your life and in our church. So that's what it's for. So today we continue on in our series, Now What? And really this series has been looking at how the church began and how the church finds itself at this place of God wanting to use it. And it's really just asking that question, now what? Now what do we do? Now what's our next step? How do we go from here? If you haven't been here before or haven't been here in a while, you know, the church has grown. In fact, today I recognized Facebook reminded me that this is like the 3-year anniversary of us actually announcing the fact that we would be transitioning from High Rock Church to becoming our own independent church of Uwari Community. And that's just a great, significant milestone in the life of this body of believers. And so we want to acknowledge that. And this series is about us saying, okay, well, God, you've made us a church. You've taken this body and you've done this with it. Now what? What do we do with it? If we look back at the early church, we saw that's what it was. The church became a place of followers of Christ who were always asking that question, now what? What's next? And as we continue to do that, we find out that God has some really important stuff for us to do. And so we believe that one of the things that God put us here for is this important mission. And we talk about it a lot, but it's really key to us understanding it, and we've kind of got to begin with it. It's this, that we believe that the Uwari Community Church exists to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. That's why we are here. We are here to make sure that the great commandment and the great commission that the Bible gives us is carried out. And so we can never underestimate that. We can never go outside of that for anything that we do, because that's why we're here. And we believe that we accomplish that the love for God, the love for others, and the love for sharing the good news when we find ourselves worshiping God in every area of our lives. We talked about that last week, that we worship Him with all of us and all that we have. And then in community, when we talk about loving others, it's this idea of community. Not just living in a community, because see, you can live in a community but never really be part of a community. So we need to be able to live in it, but then also be a part of it. It's important for us to do that. And then the last part is that we just take the mission that God's given us seriously. That we understand that we are to go and tell. That's what Jesus said for us to do. Go and tell, that we have a message to carry, and we need to be willing and ready to go and take it to whoever wants to hear it. And so as we go through this series, we're building on top of each other. Last week, the idea of worship is being hungry for God. To have this hunger that causes us to just acknowledge Him in everything that we do. The first thing that we do, no matter what it is, whether it's completing high school or college or getting a new job or a new relationship or whatever, that God comes first. He said that if you will put Him first, then and to love others as ourselves, then man, the rest of it, you know, everything hangs on it. And I believe that we can do that, that everything takes care of itself. And so we've got to be able to love him first, love others second, and then love telling people about Jesus and what he's done for us. It's got to all kind of come out of that. And that hunger that we talked about last week is for worshiping God is something that we've got to have. But there's another hunger that we don't have to make ourselves do it. We just all have it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about community. And we all have an innate hunger to be around other people, for relationships. And you know, I've shared before that I kind of like to go home and shut the door and just kind of be at home by myself. But, you know, there are times where I love being around people. I love being around my family, my girls, and my wife. And I love being around you guys. To go home and just shut the doors and it would be a really lonely life, wouldn't it? And so to also, though, be in a crowd and not be connected would be a really lonely place as well. And I think we have a lot more people that spend their time in that kind of setting than we even acknowledge or even maybe sometimes realize. We have a hunger for a sense of community in our lives, and we need to be able to acknowledge it. And today I want to help us to be able to kind of bring that together. Anybody remember the movie Castaway? Yeah, some of us older folks would. You know, it's been about 20 years now, I guess, that actually came out. It was a movie with Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks, pretty much. It was him. He was stranded on an island all by himself, and his desire for community was so strong that he built a relationship with a volleyball that had washed up on shore. He even named it. His name was Wilson, because that's obviously what was written on it. But he named it Wilson, and he had this whole relationship with this volleyball, because he needed to have that community. And so we all are built with this same desire to be able to have people in our lives and to have conversation and to have interaction. The thought of being isolated is a very terrifying, it's a terrifying thought for so many of us. To be alone and isolated from everyone else is a terrible place to be. And even when we think we want to be alone, that's still important for us. A prolonged time with no contact with anybody would be a very terrible place to spend your life. And so we need to be able to understand, how do we help that? Now for me, I don't ever have to worry about having a prolonged period of nobody in my life. All I have to do is pretend to have a conversation with my wife, Kelly, and my daughters will show up, always. Some of you parents know what I'm saying. You try to have a conversation with your spouse, and man, the kids just won't leave you alone. They come piling right in with you, even if you lock the door. Ours will come banging on it and everything else. Just they got to be there. It's hard to do. So, but we need that in our lives. We need to have people and interaction. The reason that we need it is this: because we were created to have it. We were never created to be alone. God created us to be able to have a relationship with him. That's our whole purpose. Our whole being was so that God could have a relationship with us and us a relationship with him. It's how it all began. And so we are built that way. The Bible is full of a constant theme of God's love for us. From cover to cover, it's about his love for us and wanting to be loved by us as well. He demonstrates it all the way through. And so, because he wants a relationship with us and he is made to love us, when we realize we're created in his image, we want to love back. We want to love others. We want to have those relationships. And so we need to see that is a piece of who we are. God made us relational because he wants us to relate to him. The good part about that is he put people around us so that we could relate with each other. No matter how you came today, no matter where you may stand on God and your relationship with him, you need to know that whether you love him or not, he still loves you. Whether you want to be around him and whether you want him in your life, he still wants to be in your life. He's still there for you. regardless of what your feelings towards him are, that doesn't change who he is and who he wants to be for you. No matter how long it's been since you maybe had any interaction with him, listen, he's still there. Still wants to have that relationship. Doesn't change a thing. Connecting with God is our primary purpose. The desire for relationship spills out into to the rest of our existence, and connecting with others is a paramount piece of the Christian life. Maybe today you're thinking, you know what, I don't feel that love. I don't have that kind of love in my life. I don't have that kind of desire. Then let me just tell you, one, I'm glad that you're here, and two, if maybe you're there and you're wondering why, but you want to have that, then there's this little box on your communication card that says, I'd like to talk to a pastor. I would love to sit down and talk to you about that. I would love to spend some time just talking about God's love for us and his love for you and helping you understand that and looking at how he's demonstrated that over and over and over again. And so if that's you, I would love to have that time to spend with you. Pastor Eddie would love to have that time to spend with you. One of us would be honored to do that. So make sure that you let us know if that's something that you maybe want to talk about, is a relationship with God. We'll do whatever we can to help you understand what that looks like. And when Jesus was asked by the religious leaders, though, when it came time to really kind of put the rubber to the road to say what is most important, he made it very clear that it was to love God and to love others, that was paramount. And I think that to get that quality relationship that he talked about, putting God first and putting others right there with it is one of the most important things that we have to have. I think it's one of the pieces that we're missing. I think it's one of the things that we miss the most when we see some of the things that go on in our world. It's because people have missed the fact that God loves them where they are and that he wants a relationship with them. And that relationship is not something that you earn by hurting others or doing crazy stuff. It's about just realizing and understanding that he's already done everything that needs to be done for you to have that relationship. And he wants to have it with you. I'm willing to bet that if we were to poll the room and kind of go around and just ask each of you, would you like to have more relationships? Would you like to have better relationships? I'm guessing, I'm no scholars, but I'm guessing probably 8 out of 10 of us would say, you know what, I want better relationships. I want more relationships in my life. I want that. If you're here and you say that you want more better relationships, well, what you need is a relationship with an English teacher. I'm just make sure we clear that up first. But I think it's something that's vital to all of us, that we're all seeking that in some way. Listen, you can just open up Facebook and you can see people doing all kinds of things to achieve relationships. It's something that we have an innate desire to do, and we'll go to all kinds of lengths to do it, except sometimes the ones that really need to be done, and that's to reach out to him and acknowledge who he is. And so here we are in a room full of people in the place that is supposed to be all about relationship, right? And when we come to church, it's supposed to be about a group of people coming together and kind of in the same direction and all that. But if we were to poll each one of us and say, well, 80% of us want more and better relationships, then if the church is missing it, think about what outside of the church is like. If we're not getting the relationships and the quality of them that we desire, what about those people that you interact with every day? It's an important thing to think about and to look. There's this desire and this craving that we have for relationship just within in the place where we can find the relationships. And then we go outside of that, and man, it's crazy. And so you're around people all day long that are looking to be able to have relationships and have relationships that are growing and moving towards more than just the surface level. And that's why community is so important to us in the church. We've got to be able to understand it, get our community right, and then be able to go out and help the community that we're a part of. And instituting the church, Jesus, he gave us this perfect cure to become the body, to become the pieces of it that come together. And so we've got to be able to utilize what we have to be able to see him do more. We've been looking at the start of the church, and I think when we look at the start of the church, we find out that Jesus did something very valuable for us in giving us the opportunity to gather together. In the book of Acts, we've looked at these points, and so today we're going to kind of continue on. We're going to look at some scripture that we've already looked at, but I want to look at it just a little bit different today. But I think if we'll just look at it, and if you know, sometimes you just got to keep hearing the same thing over and over again to get it right. And so today, I want us to just read Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42 again, and think about this in the context of community, in the context of us desiring relationships and desiring for them to grow and be healthy. Acts 2, verse 42 says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." Remember we talked about devoted? That means being stubbornly focused in on it, to not let anything get in the way, to be willing to learn at whatever, no matter what it takes, to find a way to learn and be devoted to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the sharing in meals, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with what? With great joy. Joy is like, man, that's better than happiness, y'all. That's understanding that there's something great about it. And being able to see that. They shared it with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Listen, if we want to see the church grow, I'm not just talking about numerically, because people, you can grow a big church a lot of ways. But I'm talking about to see the church grow numerically, but to grow deep into to relationships with Jesus and with each other. If we want to see that, here's the formula. Church growth, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of websites, there's a lot of talk and diagrams and all kinds of ways you can draw it up. But those six scriptures right there are really the ultimate way that's it. It's simple. But it takes us being willing to commit to it. It says they devoted themselves to teaching. That means they devoted themselves to showing up. They devoted themselves to opening their Bibles and reading it. They devoted it to listening and hearing and applying what they were taught. They devoted themselves to being at the same place, to eating together and hanging out together and having relationships with each other. And they devoted themselves. Here's the thing. They devoted themselves to prayer. I'm telling you, the key to a church growing and to you growing individually is for us to be able to begin to pray. And not just the prayers of God, fix everything, but God, how do you want to use me? God, show me how to be more like you. God, show me what I need to learn. God, show me how I can be better. Being serious and devoted to what he wants to do next in your life. This scripture brings us to the sense of community, the sense of relationship and gathering together. And when you take a group of people and you put them together, there's something significant that happens. When people hang out together and they do things together and they're going in the same direction, they begin to share in the victories. They begin to share in the good stuff. They begin to share in the bad stuff because then they support each other. Now, I've told you before that I played college football at Lees McRae College, and it was a junior college at that point, and so there was a lot of guys there that weren't the smartest guys. They couldn't get into the big schools, but man, they could tackle people and they could run the ball, but they couldn't take a test for nothing. right? Couldn't write a paper for nothing. And I could tackle a little bit, and I could run a little bit, but I was pretty smart and could write. So you know what? We came together, and I could help them write their papers, and I could help them do the things that they need to do and study. And so when they would do good on tests and when they would do things, listen, I got to share in that because I had a part in it. And when they would go out there and knock somebody's helmet off, I got to share in that. It was as if I had done it myself. Not really, but I acted like it, okay? So there was good things about us sharing each other, but one couldn't do what the other one could do necessarily quite as good, but man, together we got it done, right? And so I've been able to connect with some of those guys and kind of catch up over the years and find out the things that they've been able to do in their lives and all of that. And it's just been really cool to see that happen. And even one of the guys went on to play for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I would watch him, and it was like me getting to play in the NFL because I had a part in that. Because I would make him work in practice when I would try to block him and different things. And so it's like you have a part and a piece. And listen, that's the way it should be in the church. When we come together and we gather and we see people come on stage, they've achieved, you know, these cool things in their life, we should be able to celebrate with that. Last week when we got to see Michaela be baptized, that's like us having a piece in that. That if you've invested in this church in any way, then you had a piece in her being baptized because of the things that God's done in her life through this body. That's the way it should be. We should get excited about that. That God's doing cool things and we're all together in it. We can't just sit back and watch though. We got to be engaged. We got to be part of it. And God brings us together to be able to enjoy this community that He's put us in. When Hannah goes to South Africa, listen, we get to go to South Africa. We just don't have to live in the hut. You know what I'm saying? So we'll think about it when we turn the AC on. No, you know, she'll think about us when she runs from the lions. No, she won't have to do that. But no, it's a peace. We get to celebrate when she writes back and says that people have accepted Christ because she shared with them. We get to share in that. When we see things going on in your lives and in your marriages, you know, we just kicked off a brand new life group this past Friday night for couples to be able to come and grow in their relationships together. And listen, as we go through that this summer and we see those relationships grow and people do it, as a church, we get to celebrate that because we're all having a piece in it. That's the way this community of the church should work. It should be us together doing things and realizing that if I'll just do my piece over here, that I influence what happens over there because I've been a piece of the body. You know what? You can't, if you achieve something good, you know, your foot can't say, you know, sorry, you just didn't do your part, so I'm excluding you from this good thing. No, because it's attached and it's part of it, and it carried you to wherever. It's important. Everything matters. We each have a part when we engage in this thing called community within the body of the church. We should be connected. But not just on a surface. We got to be connected deeper. That means we got to engage. We got to be willing to not just watch other people grow, but we got to be willing to grow ourselves. We can't just watch other people make their marriages better. We got to be willing to even make our marriage even better, even if it's great already. We can still learn more and do more to be able to have that. In the church, we have this. We like to use this saying, you know, Brother Ron or Sister So-and-so, you know, and we kind of refer to each other in that sense. And, you know, that old school churchy thing kind of sometimes, you know, it gets on my nerves a little bit. But then again, man, when I really think about it, it's one of the most awesome things for somebody to call me their brother. It's really awesome that somebody would trust, you know, me to be that. And so it's a reminder of the life and the community that we're to have with each other, that it's important. We all benefit from that. Bonded together, experiencing what Jesus is doing. The church should be a hub of connecting believers in a given area so that we can fulfill the commission that all of us have, and that's to love God, love others, and love sharing the good news. We have an important piece to reach out to our community, to our neighbors. Who's our neighbor? Everybody, right? I mean, whether they live next door or down the street or really around the world. The biblical definition of neighbor is anybody else. And that's how we're to love. The church should be that place that makes that happen. When we become a community, then we fulfill this definition of the church. And it's this, that the church is a community, or is believers in community serving a community. That it's believers in community serving a community. That means we come together and we serve. That means we come together and we make it happen. That there's a purpose to it. We will never effectively reach a community until we exist together in community. That's one of the problems with the church. And so often we see churches split and we see parts of churches get angry and go their own direction and different things. So the problem is that when we can't be in community, how in the world can we go outside and reach our community? We've got to be able to come together. Doesn't mean we have to all agree all the time, but it does mean that we all have to move in the same direction. The church is believers in community, serving a community, loving each other, and then being able to love those outside of the walls, being able to take that and do what God wants to do with it. Our culture around us can take cues from us if we get it right. You know, if the church would just become what the church is really supposed to be, I promise the world would become a better place. Because they'd be able to see us and they'd be able to model us. And here's what would really happen. They'd see what we had and they would want to have it too. Too often the world doesn't want what we got because what we got is not very enticing to them. It's because we're at each other's throats and we're not getting along and we have issues all the time. And so the church has got to be able to overcome that and love each other. The question that we get left with is, well, how do we do that, Ron? How do we come together? How do we get over all of these things and create a community amongst ourselves so that the world would want to be part of it? It's pretty simple. It comes down to doing what the Scripture teaches us. The Scripture is full of ways that this happens, and they all happen to be grouped in a very particular order and to share in some very particular language. Let me share some with you and see if you get this. Mark 9:50, be at peace with each other. Wash one another's feet. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, says Romans 12:10. Have equal concern for each other, says 1 Corinthians 12:25. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't come kiss me, okay? I love you. Just don't be all up on me. Just don't do it. Serve one another in love, Galatians 5:13 says. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:2, bearing with each other, bear with each other. Colossians 3:13, encourage each other. Encourage one another daily. Don't grumble against each other. Says James 5:9, pray for each other. James 5:16, greet one another with a kiss of love. Don't do it. Just saying. Shay, I think Shay is the only one here that whoever comes and kisses me on the cheek. So he has my permission because his beard kind of tickles. So nobody else. No. It's kind of weird. Remember the context, all right? This is where it gets a little weird. Do not go kiss my wife. I'm just telling you. I'll drop you in the lobby. Anyway, love one another. Says 2 John chapter 5. Well, it goes on and on and on. What is it? What brings us together? What allows that to happen? It's the love, but it's not just love. It's the love for one another, each other. That's what's got to be there, that we've got to love each other. That I love my brothers and sisters. My brother was a little bit older, so he's kind of out of the house before I really got old enough for this to kind of happen, but there was a few times that it did. But I remember when me and my sister were at home, and man, there would be some knockdown, drag outs in the house. And it would happen in that way until I got old enough where one day she punched me in the nose and I flipped her up on my shoulder, took her in and dropped her at the feet of my mom and said, "You need to do something about that." And it didn't happen no more. But we loved each other. She might have busted my nose and I might have picked her up and threw her down. But you know what? We loved one another and we were there. And if somebody else had come in there and wanted to mess with us, it'd have been on. Because we loved one another. You know, that's the way the church ought to be. I'm not talking about, you know, we don't have to literally bloody each other's nose, but we may not get along all the time. We may not be able to agree. We may not be able to, you know, have everything exactly like we would want it, but you know what? At the end of the day, when Satan is attacking, we need to be able to know that we love one another and we're praying for one another. You need to know that when you get attacked, that I'm here no matter what for you. And that so-and-so is there for you no matter what. And we need to know that we have that kind of relationship, that kind of community within ourselves so that when we go outside of here, that the world begins to see something different about us. It needs to happen so that we can be able to have those relationships and the world can see it. You came in, you should have got a little sheet of paper that has a whole bunch of one another's on there. You need to begin to read those one another's and you need to begin to understand that those are the things that make us different. That's the things that bring us together, that make us this community of Jesus followers that can become unbreakable and sustainable no matter what we face. I printed those for you so that you can take them and stick them in your Bible or whatever. You know, I know, you know, if you're like this is my Bible now and that paper ain't going in there, but I'll send it to you electronically if you want it. Because it's important to be able to pull those up and know that, man, I need to pray for each other. I need to encourage you. I need to do that daily, as the scripture says. We need to do that for each other. That's what builds the community that Jesus wants us to have so that we can be the body that he wants us to be. God has a lot to say about us interacting with each other and how it should happen. We should do it, and we should do it a lot, because we have every reason to, because we're united around the same thing. The fact that Jesus came and he died on the cross for all of us, that he came and he died on that cross just like for me, just like he did for you. His blood was shed on a cross, not just for me, but for you. And we know that he bled and died on a cross. He was buried and raised again, not just so one person could have eternal life, but so that all could have it. That's the thing that unites us, that when we trust it and we believe it, we all become part of the family. And we talked about last week that the same Spirit that comes to live within me comes to live within you. And the same Spirit is within each of us. And so we should be able to understand that when I pray for you, that I'm praying for me. And when you pray for me, it works that way, that it goes both ways. That's the community that we should have around us. This unity and the forgiveness of our sins and the restoration to God for all eternity. That's what we get to celebrate. There is a problem to all of that. No matter how big our church may get, it will always matter if we love other people. You see, no matter what happens, the problem can always slip in that we begin to stop loving each other, that we really stop caring about you and your relationship and and we begin to get focused on me and mine. We can't ever be a church like that, and we can never be believers like that, that it becomes all about us. Because that goes totally against what God said through Christ that was most important. It's about Him, and it's about others. And we need to be able to keep that focus. We can't come in here week after week after week and leave week after week after week feeling alone and weak. We just can't do it. But we do. Every week there are people that walk into churches, not just here, but everywhere, and they come in alone, they come in feeling inadequate, they come in feeling like they are isolated, and they are separated and all by themselves in whatever they're in. And they sit through messages, they sit through songs, they sit through all the stuff, and they get up and they walk back out the door just as alone and just as isolated as they were when they came in. It happens all the time. Now we got to understand that if we don't want to be alone and isolated anymore, we got to make choices to not be alone and isolated. But at the same time, if we're in community and we love each other and we are praying for one another and we're bearing for one another and we're doing all the things that we are to do for one another, then we've got to be able to reach out to people and touch them where they are so that they know that when they can make decisions to not stay where they are. It's what makes us, it's one of the things, the greatest things about the church is that we get the opportunity to make and to help people not feel that way. I think if we're honest, we've probably all done that. You know, I just went through a time where I felt pretty alone. And I was talking to my wife, Kelly, and I said, you know what? I don't have anybody to go talk to. I don't have anybody to go and share that with and to help me, because I can't go share it with the church because, you know, that would maybe seem weird, and I can't go share it with other people because I'm too prideful to, you know, because I don't want other pastors to know that things, you know, I'm not maybe spiritually where I need to be or whatever. There wasn't anybody else isolating me. It was me isolating myself. And it was pretty interesting that as I began to pray, because, see, I said I was alone and isolated before I ever prayed about it. And when I began to pray about it, you know what? My phone began to ring. I reached out to one person, but then I had three others call me. One of them I'd never spent any time with or hung out with. He said, hey, let's go have coffee. And then, and through those relationships, I was reminded that I'm not alone. That I'm not isolated because I have people around me that care. And so if you're in the room and you hear my voice, you need to know that you're not alone, that there are people that care about where you are. That's what the community is. That's what church is. That's what the body of Christ is us coming together and making sure that nobody stays on the island all by themselves. I was having a conversation yesterday with another one of those phone calls, which made number four, by the way, of someone who had found themselves in the very same spot. Instead of staying isolated, they began to pray, and God said, listen, here's what you need to do. He used some other people around him to say, you know what? You need a group of men around you that you can pray with and pray and be prayed for. You need a group of men around you that you can grow together and learn together. And that, as the scripture says, that iron can sharpen iron. And so he called me up. He said, hey, let's sit down. I want to talk to you. And so out of that conversation came some pretty cool stuff. And one of those is, one of the things you're going to be hearing more about in the next couple of weeks is the fact that we're going to begin a brand new men's group here. A group of men that can come together and just can spend that time and grow together and be able to just have people around them so that they know that they're not isolated. You know, men are the worst. We're so prideful and we're so, you know, arrogant. I'm just speaking for myself that we think we can handle it all by ourselves, and we separate ourselves off, and then the next thing you know, we're stuck. So I'm excited about this men's group that's going to be beginning, because it's going to be able to give all of our men in the church an opportunity to come and just have that. So we're going to be having a men's breakfast here in the next couple of weeks, and you're going to be able to come be a part of that, be looking for opportunities to sign up for it and everything else. But that's just a cool thing that takes our community and grows it deeper. Friday nights, this new couples group, it's an opportunity to take us and dig us deeper into community. All the while being able to solve some of the issues that come along in our lives that God's given us answers to. We've got to be able to reach out, though, and take those opportunities and do something with it. There's groups for everybody. There's a Wednesday group, Sunday morning group. There's two ladies groups. It's going to be a men's group. We got student groups. We'll be meeting tonight at 5. We got all kinds of things going on. There are opportunities for us to be able to have community, to be able to grow just like the church did in the early days. It's important for us to get this, to have community, to have people around us, to be able to trust and to be able to know that we don't have to go through it by ourselves. So now what? Okay, Ron, we need community. Now what? How do we do that? What's the answer to it? It comes down very simple, that we must one another. You got to be willing to one another, everybody around you. And you got to be willing to be one anothered. Like, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm getting one anothered. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Don't suggest that post. Kind of weird. But find people. Find people where you can love one another. Find people where you can serve one another, where you can pray for one another, where you can greet one another. Just don't be doing it with no kisses. And then be willing to encourage one another. One of the greatest tools we have for encouragement. Can I just tell you this? How many people have text messaging? You know, one of the coolest things is to get a little text message that says, "Hey man, I pray for you today." I try to send those out regularly, you know, at different points and different places, and just, "Hey, I just pray for you today." Not because I want praise for it, but because I want people to know they've been prayed for. Because some of the most isolating place to be is to know that nobody cares about you, and nobody's even willing to take where you are to God. Just text them. God brings them to their mind or to your mind. Pray for them. Let them know it. They can be encouraged by it. Find somebody that you can one another. The challenge for today, the next step is this. Who am I going to one another? I want you to think about how can you one another the body of Christ? How can you one another the people around you that God's put in your path? It just means that you pray for one another, that you let them, that you encourage one another, that you serve one another. It's those things that the Scripture is teaching us. So this week, who are you going to one another? How can we grow closer together by one anothering each other? You know what? I don't see one of them on there that cost anything. They're all free. But they are priceless when they're done for the body. Who are you going to one another this week? Who are you going to live in real community with? Who are you going to let God use you to make sure that somebody doesn't feel alone and doesn't feel like that nobody cares? God, today I pray that we get it. God, that we understand that community is not just hanging out together, but God, it's about hanging out together knowing that people are there. It's about being in a body, but yet not feeling alone. It's about being in it knowing that we belong. It's about knowing that there's something important about us and there's something that you want to do in our lives through it. God, I pray that you are a community church would become a community. God, not to exclude people outside of it, God, but to be able to be a community within it so that we can then go and be community outside of it. God, I believe that you have great things in store for this community around us. But God, if we don't ever become the community we're supposed to be and get outside of here, God, we're never going to see it happen. So God, I pray right now. I pray for this new men's group. I pray for the ladies' groups of our church. I pray for the Bible studies that go on Wednesday and Sunday. I pray for our URI students. I pray for our URI kids as they meet this morning. God, I pray that you would begin to just bind us together. God, to not to look for all the things that separate us, but to look for the one thing, the greatest thing of all that unites us, and that's your Son, Jesus. God, for those in the room who don't know you, that have never begun a relationship with you, to confess the fact that your Son Jesus died on a cross for their sins, he paid the price for them and for the debt that they owed, he paid it in full with his body and his blood. They can accept that today and know that the price is paid, that forgiveness is there for them. That he did that on a cross, was taken off, put into a tomb, buried for 3 days, and then rose again on that third day by your love and your strength to overcome, not only for sin to be dealt with, but now for death to be dealt with. God, for someone in the room today that's never accepted that, I pray this would be the moment. God, for those in the room who've prayed and acknowledged and have given themselves over to you, knowing that you've done that for them, but not lived this community life to the fullest, God, I pray that this would be a moment of just acknowledging that, God, that you've brought us together, not just to come in and occupy a chair, but God, to truly interact and be connected to one another, to be held together by your Son, Jesus. God, I pray that you would begin to do great things in our community. God, bring people in that haven't felt a part. God, draw them in and it'll help us to reach out and touch those that have been on the fringes, that have felt that they're on an island by themselves. God, to bring them in and let them know they're loved and let them know we care and let them know that they're important. God, I pray today would be a defining day in the life of our church, because we realize that it's more than just showing up. It is belonging. And belonging is something that we all get to do. So God, move in us. God, direct us and show us what it is that we need to do as individuals. But then God, take those individual steps and bring us together. And we pray it in Jesus' name.